Oh, Brian, what have you done now?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Announce Table Presents Tap Talk, Episode 1. And what a great episode it's going to be here on the Brad Gilmore Show Network, part of the Brad Gilmore Show Network. I am, of course, Brad Gilmore, the dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and good hair having entertainment world champion. And we have a great show for you today, Tap Talk, the Announce Table Presents. Let me give you a little bit of background on this episode and where it's coming from. It's not out of the ordinary. It's not out of left field or anything like that. It was about 6 months ago. Actually about seven, eight months ago. Wow, it's been that long. My buddy and I, Kyle Hubbard, sat down and we decided to do a wrestling podcast called The Announce Table. And we would take significant moments in professional wrestling history and chat about them. We did such stuff as an hour episode about the Montreal Screwjob, a little over an hour. We talked about CM Punk's departure from the company the day it happened, or the day after it happened. And we had the two-part episode, which I think almost went 2.5 hour episode, about The Undertaker's undefeated streak at WrestleMania, speculating about who his opponent was going to be before, obviously, the streak ended to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30. But that was the announce table. It only had a couple episodes. We had scheduling conflicts. We couldn't continue the podcast. But here it lives on in this version on the Brad Gilmore Show Network. It's called Tat Talk, the announce table talk, episode 1. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking to somebody who over the last 6, 7, 8 months, This is like a recurring thing. Over the last 6, 7, 8 months, I've been really close to, gotten to talk to a lot. Me and him become close. We bonded over professional wrestling, of course. His name is Charles Rice, a.k.a. Chuck Rice. You can follow him on Twitter at crice17. We're going to be welcoming him. We're going to be welcoming him on the show here very, very soon. So stick around. We appreciate it. We're going to do more Tat Talks. We're going to do more announce tables, as well as I'm going to replay the episodes of the announce table that are no longer streaming out there on the internet. So look forward to the Montreal Screwjob and the streak and the CM Punk episode here within the coming weeks here on the Brad Gilmore Show Network. With all that being said, let's get to the main event, brother, and let's bring in my man, Chuck Rice.
He's a man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. This is Tat Talk, episode number 1. And I got, like I told you, I got a supremely, supremely awesome guest for you this week. You know him. If you're in the wrestling hemisphere, all right, the stratosphere that is professional wrestling, I'm sure you've seen this man's name somewhere because he's worked for indie feds, he's worked for major companies, and he also has probably the greatest wrestling podcast there is out there. And yeah, I said that, Stone Cold, Jericho, Piper, Goldberg. I said it to you all. His name, Chuck Rice, and he's on the phone with me right now. How you doing, CRice17?
Oh, my God. That is probably, you know, listen, Brad. Every week, Johnny LaQuasto tries to come up with a great intro for me and Dale on Wrestling Compadres. And I'm going to have to tell Johnny that you might have just rivaled him because I am flattered by that intro, sir. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for joining me here on the show today. So much stuff to talk about with you, man. I said earlier in the intro on the show, I've known you, I think, for almost a year now, about 8 months, if you can believe that, 8, 9 months. We've been...
I know, and one of the reasons I love you so much is because you share my love and passion for Houston sports.
Yes, yes. Chuck Rice, you are in Los Angeles, California right now, but you're a Houston Texan at heart, and you always
Let me tell you what I'm wearing right now as I'm being interviewed by you.
Let me hear it.
For all you ladies, it's nothing too scandalous, but I got my red and yellow number 12 Dwight Howard jersey on.
There you go. You heard it. Look at that.
And I am in Los Angeles.
See? Dwight Howard jersey in Los Angeles, but it's not a Laker. It's a Rocket jersey. See, that's why I appreciate you, Chuck Rice. You understand that even though – I think there's something about when you're in Texas, when you're born and raised here, especially in Houston, you're very proud of where you're from. So no matter where you go in the country, you always rep your home state. Both of my brothers live in California, in Northern California. And my brother, Rusty, who lives in Chico, always is repping his Rockets gear. So I shout out to the Californians who still represent Texas.
Hey, man, we got a big fan base out here, to be honest with you, man. You know, we got a bunch of us always meet up, watch the games. And, you know, I can't lie, I'm a Cowboys fan. I know, sorry, Brennan Williams. I know you're my boy, but... but yeah, man, dude, thank you so much for having me on the show. I mean, it's an honor to just get to shoot a little wrestling biz with you.
Dude, it is awesome, man. And before we get to the wrestling, you know, I know you are a sports fan, so I got to ask you, what do you think about LeBron returning to Cleveland?
God, man, see, I was hoping we could avoid all this because, you know, honestly, I think, like, my boss was getting mad at me at work the other day because I was constantly on my phone checking for updates. And when LeBron went back to Cleveland, see, I didn't care about where LeBron went. It didn't matter to me where he went because I knew he wasn't coming to us.
Yeah.
What I did think was that with LeBron going to Cleveland, we were going to get to retain the services of my man, Chandler Parsons, and we were also going to bring in a dinosaur, Chris Bosh. And neither happened, and I'm depressed and don't really want to talk about it.
Neither happened, man. I was having dreams of that starting lineup, Parsons, Harden, Howard, Bosh, you know, and we can dream, though. We can dream as Houston, Texas Rockets fans. Anyway, man.
You know, I was really hoping that, you know, like, okay, fine, so Parsons is going to go to the Mavs for a couple years and he'll come back and play for us because he loves Houston, and then it's just like, you read his interview afterwards, like, nope, that's not happening. He was insulted by the whole process. So,
yeah, man. So moving off of the sports, that's that type of sport. Let's move to our favorite sport, the sports entertainment genre, professional wrestling. You know, I met you through obviously working with Reality of Wrestling and Booker T. We officially met on New Year's Eve 2013. When we had a nice little soiree at Booker's house, bringing in the new year.
Good times.
Yes. Actually, you know, I look back at that night as probably one of my favorite, you know, New Year celebrations of all time. You know, it was just such an awesome night. But, you know, shortly thereafter, you and I started getting in correspondence, working with Debonair Lounge, and you were helping me promote that a little bit, you know, you and Booker. And then you were telling me, you were starting your own podcast, your own wrestling podcast, which we're going to talk all about. So that's where we first started kind of exchanging, you know, words back and forth. And I just want to ask you, man, like, where did your love for this sport, this professional wrestling sport, where did it all begin?
Man, you know what? I'm going to share a story with you. And you know what? I don't normally go too in-depth with it with people, because it's one of those kind of personal things. But you know what? This seems like the right time to bust this story out.
Let's hear it.
So
exclusive.
You know, listen, man, you know, I grew up in Houston, like we talked about, and I had my mom was from Alabama, my dad was from Texas. So, you know, I never really had a problem with wrestling because it's always big in the South, you know?
Definitely.
And, you know, for me, I was about 9 years old when my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter that, I found out my dad, you know, he actually had cancer for a little bit too, and then he got diagnosed with Parkinson's. And just from an early age, they were dealing with some real heavy stuff. And, you know, I think at that age, you turn to different things to kind of help you numb the pain. A lot of people would turn to drugs or alcohol or, you know, things like that. And for me, I always found a love in professional wrestling and movies and television. And I just remember that, like, every Monday night, that was my escape. You know, I could go and watch with my friends from that early age on and just kind of escape the realities of life for a bit, you know? So I always made a promise to myself. I said, I want to find a way to work in that industry so that I can hopefully give someone else maybe that same joy, that same escape, you know, whatever it is that they might need, hopefully they can find it in a positive way too.
Wow.
And, you know, from there, that's just always kind of been my driving force behind all of this.
Wow, man. You know, that's an amazing story. I had no idea. You know, your mother was diagnosed with breast cancer and, your father with Parkinson's. I know a lot about Parkinson's disease. My grandmother has it. And, you know, it definitely can rock you, shake you, you know, no pun intended. I mean, like, it's a really tough disease to deal with. And especially if your dad was younger and, you know, cancer is no joke either, man. So you turn to wrestling, you know, to try to, you know, get something, you know, to take your mind off things. And man, and then who do you remember? Like, what year did you start watching? Like, around what time?
Man, okay, so that's the interesting thing. You know, like, I got turned on to it by a buddy of mine who still lives in Houston, good friend of mine. His name is Zach Samet. He turned me on to wrestling when we were young, and I'd say it was, like, right at the beginning of the Attitude Era, maybe a couple years into it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really, really discovered wrestling, and then it became this thing where it blossomed into me going back and watching, like, all these old kind of things pre-Attitude Era. And I think I remember there's a couple people that always kind of stood out to me that, you know, and they trickled into the Attitude Era a little bit too, but man, Ravishing Rick Rude, that guy was just awesome in my opinion when I went back and watched his stuff. And Mr. Perfect, those were two guys that always stood out to me.
Those were two of my, you know, Ravishing Rick, man, was just like, you know, you looked at him and you mean he was just a chiseled guy, and I just love that feud he had with Jake the Snake, and he like painted Jake's wife's, you know, face on his, you know,
face on his pants.
Yes. It's just like, God, I hate this guy, but I love him at the same time. It's, you know, it was like the, you know, like when you're a big fan, you know, you almost start rooting for the heels because they're so good sometimes. And that's kind of how I felt
exactly.
With Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect. They were just so good at what they did. You're just like, how can you not love them?
Right. And then, you know, like during the Attitude Era for me, I always had a love for guys like Chris Jericho. And, you know, it's funny because he's, you know, you always like, oh, you only say that because we're friends, Chuck. But no, I always loved Kurt Angle. I loved or hated him, but I had a lot of passion towards Kurt as a kid.
Kurt Angle, man, you know, I remember when he debuted and you know, he had that undefeated streak, right? And that was like the first time I heard of an undefeated streak, because that's like right when I started watching was around that time. And then
the
I
three eyes, man.
Intensity, integrity, intelligence, man. And you know, Kurt was awesome in that role of I'm undefeated. And then, you know, he lost. The undefeated streak was broken by Taz at Royal Rumble 2000. But, man, Kurt, man, is just one of those guys who came in the business, you know, and obviously you know more about him than I do, and I want to talk about y'all's friendship. But, you know, he came in the business from an Olympic background, an amateur wrestling background. And, you know, from everything I heard and from everything I could see about him, I mean, he adapted to wrestling so quickly. Like, just, like, unbelievably, he was able to adapt to the sport.
That's the interesting thing, you know, with Kurt. You know, first, you got to give that man a lot of credit because he had this seamless way of being this really intense, like, you know, just straight-up wrestler who, you know, he could whoop anyone's ass he got in there with. It didn't matter who it was, you know, if they were cheap. But Kurt also had this uncanny ability to just be the funniest guy in the room. And to be able to combine those two into a character the way he did was just so amazing. You know, I don't know if you guys remember this, but he did one of the funniest things, you know, was in one of the funniest skits that I've ever seen in wrestling history, in my opinion. And that was with the Big Show when Kurt was going around at the mall as Olympic Heroes for Abstinence.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Big Show would be behind him passing out condoms to people and stuff. And, like, as a kid, I never truly grasped the pure genius of that. It was only, like, years later when I went back and watched it and realized just how funny that was.
Yeah.
But,
you know, Angle was almost like the precursor to Bo Dallas, if you think about it. You know, just like the guy who's a heel, but he's kind of a, you know, he doesn't know he's a heel almost. You know what I mean? How like Bo Dallas is a, you know, thinks he's kind of a baby face, but he's not. He's a heel. I mean, Kurt was kind of like that too. He was just so like, you know, the red, white, and blue machine, you know, the guy who wanted you to take your vitamins, drink your milk, you know, and it was almost.
Exactly. And it's so interesting because in theory, that's not a guy you're supposed to hate. That's not a guy you're supposed to boo. You know, he's wearing our country's colors. He won a gold medal. He's a legitimate hero. Yet as a kid, I'm sure you remember it. You hated the guy.
Yeah.
You booed
him. Couldn't stand him.
You couldn't stand a thing he did, but he was so good. And when Taz, you know, I'm going to say unofficially beat him because we all know that.
It was a choke. It was illegal.
Still. But, you know, I just remember being ecstatic, you know? I just remember being like, yes, finally he loses. And,
yeah.
And you know, but I want to go back to what you said, man, because Kurt, as much as Kurt will tell you and as much as people will tell you that he just took to it right away, I always remember this one thing that Kurt told me about his first day when he went to start training. He almost quit is what he told me.
Really?
And he, you know, like, I mean, and I don't want that to get blown out of proportion or anything. You know, he just told me that, like, you know, you really had second thoughts and doubts because it was a lot harder than he expected.
Yeah.
And it pretty much that first day, I think it was a little bit of soul searching from Kurt is what I always gather from when we talk. But I think that after that first day, it was just off to the races for him. And, you know, he's got some fascinating stories about that. And, you know, I can't do them justice.
I know you. How'd you meet Kurt Angle? Because I know you and Kurt are friends. You were at Kurt Angle's wedding. So it's like y'all are close. Y'all are buddies. How did you meet Kurt?
Man, you know what? It started when I was doing some work for TNA, and Kurt was just always this really humble guy, and he was, you know, but we didn't really get to know each other until actually, like, we knew each other then in TNA, and we were friendly. You know, most of the guys at TNA on the roster were always really friendly to the production crew and the office people, you know. TNA gets a bad rap in a lot of ways in areas that it shouldn't. I mean, that's just plain and simple, but that's a whole other story and thing. But, you know, Kurt then came out to L.A. one summer and was going to be shooting a movie. And somehow I ended up working on that movie, and it came to be that Kurt knew me, and they knew that I knew Kurt, and I got put as his assistant on the set.
Oh, wow.
And from that, like, that's when we really got to know each other on, like, a deeper level, because we were spending, like, a lot of time around each other for that. And it just kind of blossomed from there. So,
I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, Kurt Angle, obviously one of the biggest stars ever in the business of professional wrestling. And, you know, for you to kind of get close to him, you know, the Houston, Texas' own Chuck Rice and the pride of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you know, getting together. But man, you know, it's crazy. You know, you said you work with TNA and you got close with Kurt, you know, over a movie set, and, you know, let alone you get invited to his wedding, you attend his wedding. And, you know, I was listening to your podcast earlier today, which we're going to get into that show, cause you have an awesome, awesome, awesome podcast. But, I was listening to it earlier today.
You're too kind, man.
Hey, I mean, I'm just telling the truth. But Kurt Angle was actually on the show, and, you know, he was addressing some rumors that were out recently about, you know, because Kurt's been clean and sober. I mean, it's well documented that he had a past with you know, drug abuse, you know, painkillers and alcohol and whatnot. And, you know, now he's coming up on his 1 year, you know, anniversary of his sobriety, and there was some BS story that was put out about he was passed out on a plane and he was OD'd or something, you know, and you know, Kurt came on your show today to debunk those rumors, correct?
Yeah, you know, let me just put it to you like this, man. You know, look, I have a past. I've done some things before that, you know, I'm not always the proudest of. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I'm sure you've done some things in your past that, you know, maybe, you know, you live and learn from mistakes is basically what I'm saying. You know, look, Kurt is the first to admit that he has made some mistakes in the past, okay? He's a human being. But yeah. Kurt is clean and he is sober right now. You know, look, I talk to him or his wife at least once a week. You know what I mean? And I can tell you that Kurt is a good guy with a good heart. And it's just really crappy that people want to go out there and try and make issues where there aren't issues. You know, I sleep every time I'm on a plane, okay? I'm not, you know, Dirk Bentley getting drunk in the sky, you know what I mean? Like, I use that time to sleep. A lot of other people do, you know, and Kurt, you know, got accused of, I guess, you know, the base of the rumor is that he was drunk and passed out. You know, just not possible. You know, and, you know, the other part of the rumor that I think is the most disheartening is that, like, people try and invent things out of stuff because, you know, they said that Kurt and TNA were kind of at odds because TNA's been worried about Kurt for months. You know, if that was the case, do you think they would have put him back on TV?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, and look, man, I'm not here to discredit, you know, any reporters, wrestling websites, anything. I'm friends with a lot of, you know, the wrestling journalists and wrestling media.
The dirt sheets, Chuck.
Look, I bring a segment on, you know, the Nerdist Network about the dirt. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I know, you know.
It's interesting. It's, you know, sometimes the rumors are true, sometimes they're not. They're fun to speculate on. They're fun to talk about, you know, but sometimes they go too far. And this is just one example of many over the years where that's happened.
And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, there are people who just make up stuff like that. And, you know, it bothers me. And I know we talked before, and it definitely bothers you, not just on, like, a natural human level, but, like, on a personal, you know, you have a personal friendship with this man, Kurt Angle, you know. And I was listening to him actually on the Jim Ross podcast, the Ross Report today. And I know you said he talked to him all the time, and it seems from just hearing what he's talking about, he seems like he wants to make a return to WWE and leave Impact Wrestling.
I mean, you know what? I'm not going to speculate on that, you know. I think the best way you could put that is that, you know, Kurt started his career in WWE, and WWE is the biggest stage of them all. You know, and I think that any wrestler out there that tells you that, you know, if they have the opportunity to, you know, headline WrestleMania, or if they've done that before and do it one more time, or just to be on that big stage and in that arena with those type of crowds one more time, and they told you they didn't want that, I don't think they're being honest either with you or themselves. Now, is that what's in the future for Kurt? I don't think anyone knows at this point, you know? I think that it's all hearsay and speculation, and I think ultimately, you know, when Kurt's TNA contract is up, I think he's gonna, you know, have to do some decision-making that's best for him and his family.
Well, you know, I definitely agree, you know, we'll have to see how it all plays out, but I will speak from a fan's perspective. I would love to see Kurt back in a four-sided WWE ring.
Listen, Brad, I will tell you straight up. I like TNA. You know, I can't say I always like everything they do or all their storylines, but overall, I have a lot of friends on that roster. I have a lot of, you know, love for that product, but I don't want to see Kurt end his career there. I don't think anybody really does, except for maybe Dixie Carter.
And, you know, yeah, I hate to say it, you know, but I almost don't want anyone to end their career in TNA, you know. Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan, Sting, I don't want any of them, you know. I didn't want any of them to end their career in TNA, you know. And you talk about the dirt, and we're going to get back to the life story of Chuck Rice here in a second. But, you know, we're talking about the dirt, and I know you bring the dirt. And almost an on-running joke on y'all's show for a very long time is, hey, did you hear that Sting signed a contract with WWE? But after
well, you can thank Dale Rutledge for that, because every time it comes up, you know, he's the man that keeps that joke running. So,
and you know, it's one of those things to where it's always going to be funny because no one ever thought that Sting would finally sign to WWE. But it seems like after this past Monday's Raw and listening to your show today, it seems like he has finally signed that contract, right?
Hey, Brad, did you hear? Sting signed a contract with WWE. Listen, man, look, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't know, but I, in my own selfish little way, I hope he doesn't, because once he does, what are me and Dale going to be able to joke about it?
Yeah, there's no on-running joke anymore about anything.
Hey, man, we still got Abu Dhabi.
You still got Abu Dhabi and, you know, Ruffigans and all the good stuff. Let's talk about, you know, you said you worked for TNA for a while. You know, TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it. How'd you start working for TNA, and what exactly were you doing for them?
Well, see, that's a loaded question, my friend. It actually brings us back to our good home city of Houston, Texas.
Okay.
And a man that we both call friend by the name of Booker T.
So, can you dig it, sucker?
Right? So, I had just gotten back to Houston. I'd been living out of state for a couple of years, and I was getting ready to go to college. And I just applied to school, and I got it into TCU. I'm a proud Horn Frog, by the way. So,
shout out to all the Horn Frogs across this great country.
Absolutely. So, Booker had his promotion, PWA,
yes,
before it was Reality of Wrestling.
The Pro Wrestling Alliance.
Right. Oh, good memories from that, my friend. And we definitely will get into that. But Booker was looking for interns. And I had never worked in wrestling, never done anything in wrestling, never, you know, just been a fan and won a contest that got me backstage once. And that was the closest I'd been to wrestling. And I was like, well, what better way to start than getting your feet wet somewhere? So I wrote them a letter, and Adrian wrote me back.
Adrian Jones.
Good old AJ.
Yeah, shout out to Adrian Jones, man. Huge shout out to Adrian Jones.
He is the man, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing him in about a week or two. So,
yes.
Adrian wrote me back and told me to come down to a show, and he'd give me a try, you know? And they put me to work and doing different things, and I really found a love for writing for the website sometimes, you know, match results and working Booker's hard camera at the time. And just, you know, I became friends, you know, really, really quickly early on with Nico, who most of you know is Abel Andrew Jackson.
Yes, the face of Reality of Wrestling, by the way. Abel is the face of Reality of Wrestling. But continue, Chuck.
And there was another guy down there, Brett Idol, who I became buddies with, who, you know, I don't think he wrestles with Booker anymore. I haven't seen him on stuff in a while, and I, you know, don't really know what happened there, but I'm sure there was, you know, different paths for different people. But, you know, those two really kind of showed me the ropes a little bit of, like, you know, different sides of wrestling while I was down there. And I got to, you know, work with Charmel and Booker and, you know, forge not only a working relationship, but a friendship with the two of them. And then it, you know, occurred to me that, you know, I really enjoyed working in wrestling and I was doing what I liked, but I wanted more, you know? And I got the opportunity, TNA was hiring interns. And this was right around the time that Booker had left WWE and was going to TNA. You know, he hadn't signed yet. They were recruiting him, but nothing was official. So I remember having a conversation with him where I was like, hey, can I put your name on my resume? You know? And he was like, absolutely. Use me as a reference. You know what I mean? So,
man, you can't think of a better reference than Booker T. You know what I mean?
No, especially when that company is, like, you know, trying to recruit him.
Yeah.
So I remember that, and he was, you know, he was cool about it. And, you know, I don't know if that had any influence because I hate to admit this and say this, but you know, I'm not going to say any names here, but sometimes I feel like TNA's office people might not always be the most up to date on the current wrestling product, even though they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think a lot of those people are gone now, but you know, needless to say, I don't know if it helped or not, but I'd like to think it did. And you know, either way, you know, it definitely helped once I got there because then, you know, Booker and Charmel came in and they kind of always looked out for me when we were around each other. And, you know, I kind of always became known as Booker's boy. You know what I mean? So it helped me in a lot of ways to kind of get my foot in the door. And then I was an intern there and then, you know, the internship ended, but I had forged some, you know, I got to give a shout out here right now to two people at TNA that are still there. And I think, you know, I don't think that company would still be around without the two of them. And that's Steve Small and Adam McGowan. You know, Steve is the senior head of production over there. And Adam, you know, heads up their online and merchandise. Mm-hmm. And those two just really took me under their wings. And, you know, I kept getting to do work for Steve even after the internship had ended. And I, you know, I got more into the live events side of things. And I also, you know, one guy who's not there anymore who really helped me a lot, two people actually, is Dan Stevenson, who was, you know, in charge of their marketing. And he, you know, he used to work at WWE and, you know, he's still living in Nashville. Great guy. And, you know, my man Chris Thomas, who was, you know, heading up their PR for the most part. And, you know, that those four always really were good to me, you know, and they really helped me out. And I learned so much about the business from those guys, you know. And, you know, then it was I spent some time on the road traveling with some of the wrestlers when I was going to the different live events. And, you know, a couple people that were, you know, that then showed me different sides of the business from, you know, like the wrestler's perspective and like, you know, the road life were like, you know, Lance Hoyt, Johnny Devine, Rhino, Homicide, and Hernandez. And I still stay in touch with all those guys and that, you know, some, they're all good guys. Some people don't like all of them, but, you know, they've all, for the most part, always done right by me. I've had it out with a couple of them a couple of times, but at the end of the day, I consider them all friends and people that, you know, I don't base my relationship. And this is the thing about wrestling is you can't base your relationships on what other people say about people in wrestling because it's a business, unfortunately, that is filled with a lot of backstabbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, I mean, we went a little off topic there, but that's essentially how, you know, the path of TNA went. And I, you know, I don't want to elaborate on it too much more just because, you know, a lot of times there are a lot of things I wish could have been different and happened differently there. And I think a lot of people that come through the TNA doors and leave them will maybe say the same thing, but I'm forever grateful for the opportunity and I'm forever grateful for the ones that took the time to teach me and help me. And I still talk to and, you know, I mean, there's just a solid core group of guys there still, you know, like Cliff Hall, who does their graphics, you know, it's just all the people there. There's just some really good and talented people. And I really hope that company, you know, I guess they're on a current reset of their product.
Yeah,
and trying to kind of wipe the slate clean and start over, and I really hope it goes well for them, man, because there's some good people there.
Yeah, and you know, in recent weeks, the TNA product has come leaps and bounds, and I can't wait to see these new set of New York City tapings where they return to the six-sided ring. I'm excited for the six-sided ring.
It just comes down to getting back to your roots and not trying to be something you're not.
Not trying to be WWE is what you're saying.
I mean, I was trying to say it nicely, but sure.
yeah, but you know, and you know, I hear a lot of people say this. You know, the more wrestling companies out there, the better for the talent, right? And and for the wrestlers, and for people like Chuck Rice and Brad Gilmore. All right, the more companies out there, the better. So much love to TNA. or Impact Wrestling, whatever it's called nowadays. But moving back on to Chuck, so you were there at TNA for a little while. You left. You're living in Los Angeles. So tell me about how this podcast came about. And the podcast I'm referring to is the Wrestling Compadre Slamcast, hosted by yourself, Dale Rutledge, and Johnny LaQuasto on the Nerdist Network, all right? And here's the thing. When you told me via text message that you had a Nerdist podcast coming out, I was like, wow, that's amazing, because, you know, I love Hardwick's podcast, which is the Nerdist podcast. I listened to another one with Matt Myra and Matt Gourley, which is called James Bonding. So I was a huge fan of the Nerdist Network. Really like the Nerdist Network.
They've got some legitimately great stuff. I mean, Doug Benson does some stuff with them that is just too funny. They've got this one girl, I think, and if I'm messing this up, I'm sorry to all parties involved. I think she's called Sandra the Sex Nerd, and her podcast is hilarious. I've listened to that one a couple times. So funny. I mean, the guests that Hardwick gets are just great. I mean, it's such a awesome to be able to be a part of that machine.
And the Nerdist podcast, obviously, I mean, the network is, you know, one of the most recognizable names in internet media. So how did this podcast come about? You got to break it down for me, Chuck.
Man, I'll tell you what, man, the real man behind it all, and I'm telling you, it wouldn't happen without him. I cannot give enough props to Dale. Dale is not only one of my best friends.
He's also best for business.
I'm sorry? He is best for business.
He's definitely best for business.
He's definitely best for business. He is also Charmel's new BFF.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on, Dale. Hold on.
he's taking your spot, Brad.
No, I am Icicle, and I am Charmel's favorite.
You guys might have to hash this out sometime.
We might have to go one-on-one. I'll be Sting in 2K14, 2K15, and he can be somebody. He can be he'll be Kofi Kingston. You know, I'll be Sting, and we'll hash it out via video game style.
Here's the thing, though. I think when it's all said and done, you and Dale would be good friends too. So,
so I'll be Sting. He'll be Warrior. Is that what you're telling me? We'll be a tag team.
I mean, or maybe you could start out as, like, you know, he could be Hulk Hogan, you could be Macho Man, and then, like, maybe you all become the Mega Powers.
You know, or the Monster Maniacs, depending on what company we're talking about. But continuing on, but so how did this podcast come about? Dale Rutledge put it all together?
So Dale, I mean, look, I have never met a man with more connections than Dale. And Dale is not afraid to use them when he needs to. And he, you know, Dale and I, so the story goes back to this. There was actually this wrestling project out here in Los Angeles, I want to say like 3 or 4 years ago now, that was spearheaded by a friend of ours named Jeff Katz, who y'all might know. He used to work at Fox and at New Line, but he's kind of been responsible for some movies, like Snakes on a Plane, Freddy vs. Jason, Origins of Wolverine, stuff like that. You know, he's been involved on some really big projects, but he got his start working in wrestling at WCW when he was 15.
Oh, wow.
And Jeff had this idea to do a scripted wrestling show similar to something you'd see on HBO or Showtime, but with actual wrestling and, like, story. So it was, like, combining all the best elements of TV and WWE Raw into one thing, you know?
Okay.
And it had this very cinematic look to it. It was really good. The roster that he put together for it, I mean, look, if I just, you know, I'll name off a few and you'll realize how awesome this was to work on. It was, you know, from the Bullet Club, Carl Anderson. You had Colt Cabana. You had Luke Gallows, who y'all know is, you know, was in CM Punk's stable for a while. He's part of the Bullet Club now over there. You had guys like out of Canada, Psycho Mike Rollins, who, I'm telling you, the fact that this man is not signed to a company yet is just beyond me, because he's probably pound for pound one of the most charismatic and best wrestlers I've ever seen, you know?
Wow.
You had Kenny Omega. You had, God, so many people. You have, you know, in NXT right now, there was Sean Ricker was on this. You had Sami Callihan, you know? Just the talent that he put together for this thing was phenomenal. And, you know, I'm sad that it never came out, and I'm told that it still might, so I'm hopeful for that, because it was just a fantastic project. Needless to say, that is where Dell and I met. I was helping Jeff with the talent aspects and production management and all that stuff, and Dale was doing the hair and makeup on it.
Okay.
And Dale and I became friends from that. And, you know, we have hung out, we've watched wrestling, we've gone to shows together. You know, Dale is a fantastic friend, and one day he gives me a call, and it was basically just like, hey man, I have this opportunity to start doing this thing with Nerdist, and I want you to be a part of it with me, you know? And I was on board. And then, you know, the format came to be that Dale had met Johnny doing AfterBuzz, mm-hmm. and it just seemed like a good combination, you know? So we recorded a pilot episode for Nerdist, and I remember doing that, and our guest on that pilot episode was John Morrison, and they liked it, and then there was Radio Silence for a while. And we were kind of like, is it going to happen? Is it not? You know, don't want to get our hopes up. And I guess, you know, Nerdist was going through some internal changes at the time. And then Dale calls me one day. He's like, all right, we're starting on this day. And it was off to the races from there, you know?
Wow. I mean, I remember, like, you know, you told me that it was coming out. And I think, you know, a week or two later, like, there it is, you know, the Wrestling Compadres Slamcast. And you, the first guest was Booker T and, who was it? Hold on, Thea Trinidad?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You have a good memory.
I knew I'd remember.
That current Rosebud.
yes. And, I remember listening to it and being like, wow, this is their first podcast? Because, I mean, shit, man, if I listened to my early shows, you know, from a couple years ago, I'd be like, damn, I hope no one else hears these ever, you know. But for y'all's first show, I was like, wow.
Man, you gotta understand something, too. I still ask Dale and Joy, I'm like, hey, am I doing okay? Does this sound good? Are we meshing well? Because you gotta understand, man, like you've been hosting this stuff for a while. Dale has been doing, you know, that's what Dale wants to do. He wants to be a host, you know, so he's got this experience. Johnny's been doing stand-up comedy, hosting shows, like, you know, practically half his life. And then you got Chuck, who has always tried to avoid being in front of the camera or in front of the microphone and has always tried to be behind-the-scenes stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to get thrown into this has been just a whirlwind for me, because I didn't used to do that. You know, I wasn't used to it. It's still nerve-wracking for me sometimes to go in there and be like, we're going to do this today, and this is our guest. And it's like, I mean, like, I remember, you know, like, getting the call from Dale. It's like, okay, so we have Hulk Hogan for this week to do an interview with. God. And we have to prepare for that. And it's like, okay, you just become at a loss for words sometimes when you think about the magnitude of it, man. Because I just remind myself every time now, and I talk to Dale, it's like, just go in there and have fun. Because, you know, it is fun, but it's crazy too, because I never thought that I would be in a position to be doing something like this.
And not only do you have, like, you know, honestly, and I told you, I think one time, I think I sent you a text and was like, man, you know, if wrestling podcast were WrestleMania, y'all would be Ricky Steamboat versus Macho Man, you know, and I still stick to that. I still stick to that, man. It's such an awesome, and you know, and you think about it, you know, I said it earlier, you know, there's, you know, both Austin podcasts, there's Jericho, There's Roddy Piper. There's Jim Ross. There's Goldberg. There's Colt Cabana. There's live audio wrestling. There's, I mean, so many wrestling shows.
There's the Brad Gilmore show.
There's the Brad Gilmore show, but I'm not full wrestling. You know, I'm more of the entertainment, hip hop wrestling. You know, I'll take a wrestler when I can get it. You know, but you know, but there's so many wrestling shows out there, and you know, for y'all to one just knock it out of the park from the first episode all the way up until, I don't know, how many episodes are y'all in now?
Like, I think we're something. Up to 26 now, man.
26 shows. I mean, that's incredible. And you talk about the guests y'all have had, you know, between, you know, like today, Iron Sheik, Kurt Angle, Hulk Hogan, Randy Orton while he was WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus, Theodore Long, Seth Rollins. I mean, the list goes on of the people y'all have had. And, you know, and to consider Nigel McGuinness as a regular on your show. And we can't forget the Godfather.
Nigel's great, man.
The Godfather of the podcast, Booker T himself, the 6-time World Heavyweight Champion, is on your show every week. I mean, you gotta sometimes just sit down and be like, man, how did I get here? Like, how did I...
It really is, man. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's quite a bit that you just, you know, mentioned, and it's humbling when you think about it, because the craziest experience from it all, Brad, has been, and it's like, you know, we do get these big guests. We do get these, you know, people that you're like, how did we land this person? And I think the thing that's unique about ours is it's, you know, when you have the Jerichos and the Austins and the Jim Rosses and the Colt Cabanas out there, we will never be able to be like that, because those guys have a relationship with each other that's been going on for years in a lot of ways. And they have, you know, a similarity that they both lace up the boots and get in the ring together, you know?
Yeah.
Or have been, you know, a part of the business in a way that's, like, been so, like, close to it. And, you know, we don't want to be those guys, you know, at least my opinion of it. We want to be something different where it's, like, you know, we combine comedy with the wrestling so it's a fun experience. And it's, you know, not just like, okay, this happened on Raw this week, you know, and that's that, you know, like, instead we want to give fans something that if you go back and listen to our show, let's say you're listening to it, you know, for instance, one of my personal favorites getting to interview was Big E, you know, I want you to be able to go back and listen to that Big E interview. And while some of it will be topical to what's going on at that moment in time, you know, there's stuff on there that I'll listen to, you know, hopefully listen to it 3 years from now and it'll still be funny. And it'll still be good, and it'll still be entertaining, you know?
Like my Little Pony?
Right, that's what I was going to say. The fact that Big E is kind of a brony. You know, that's priceless stuff, and that's what we want to give people. And the other thing that we constantly try and do is we don't want it to be the same old interview that a wrestler does all the time. Because, you know, look, if you're listening to our show, chances are, A, you like wrestling, B, you like comedy, or C, you're friends with myself, Johnny, or Dale. You know what I mean? Like, you know, while it is a niche market, I think it has something for everyone, but with only so many hours in a day, you know, I don't expect someone that doesn't like wrestling to necessarily totally get or enjoy our podcast. I hope they do, but I think the thing that's different about ours is we try and stay positive, you know? There's never, you know, just this, we try and stay away from the negativity.
Yeah, because so many wrestling podcasts go out there and they just tear the product apart, you know, and rip it apart, rip it to shreds, and then, you know, that's all, you know, that's their whole show. It's like, this is why wrestling sucks this week.
Right.
You know, and
it's like, if you hate it so much, why are you watching it? You know, like for us, look, you can have an opinion, and no one's telling you that you have to be like, you know, like, yeah, we work a lot with WWE, but we're not always going to be pro what they're doing. But there's a way to say it in a respectful and, you know, I don't want to necessarily say positive manner, but there's a way to say it that is appropriate, and then there's an inappropriate way to say it, you know?
No, definitely. And go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. And you know, I was just going to say, you know, the other thing is we will never I mean, as long as I have any fans, at least, we will never do an interview where it's like, you know, how'd you get your start? What was, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit, but like, I mean, chances are if you're listening to our show, you've already heard that interview with that person, or you know their story because you have Wikipedia at your fingertips. You know what I mean? The internet.
Yeah.
That stuff's not interesting. And let me tell you something. My experience is wrestlers don't like doing interviews like that. You know, it's like, you know, they want to talk about like either specifics or, you know, just more general of them and what's going on and their thoughts on things, you know, because and stuff that might not even be wrestling related because they never get to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of my favorite interviews y'all did, actually my favorite interview that y'all did was someone I actually also had on my podcast. Stevie Ray was such an awesome interview on y'all's show.
Dude, it was incredible for us too, let me tell you. And gotta thank the lovely Charmel for that.
Yes.
She really helped set that up. Stevie was fascinating because, you know, a lot of the times with a lot of the people we have on the show, one of us knows them already, you know, where it's like we're coming into the interview and there's some air, you know, familiarity involved. With Stevie, not only did that come kind of together at the last minute for us, because I think Booker was actually supposed to be on that night doing a Fave Five, and he was unavailable due to, I think, a last minute WWE appearance that came up. And I texted Charmel. I was like, Charmel, we need to find someone for the show tonight. Do you have any suggestions? And she was like, hold on, I got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I remember I always like to try and call the guests before and just confirm and make sure there's nothing that's kind of they don't want to talk about and all that stuff. And I remember being so nervous calling Stevie, you know, because I know, and you laugh now because knowing Stevie is just a really nice guy, you know?
Yeah, Stevie's awesome. Stevie Ray is an awesome person. Keep going.
I was so, it's so true. And I was so nervous, man, because I'm like, that's Stevie Ray. That's the other half of Harlem Heat. And, you know, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I know Booker so well, but I don't know Stevie at all. And I'm sure they're, you know, very similar, but very different. And you know, you could tell at first with that interview that it was just like, all right, he's doing it, but I don't think it was necessarily something that he like was really excited about. And then there was a point in the interview where like something just clicked, you know? And
I think the point in the interview, he was just like, hey, yeah, I hate WCW. Let me talk about it.
And he was given that forum and he was like, and, you know, just getting to talk to him about, like, the Shockmaster and all that, you know, and getting to hear, like, his account and Booker's account of that is just so
it's awesome.
Funny. And it just became all of a sudden, you know, Johnny found his groove in that interview, and he had Stevie laughing. And I think once we got Stevie laughing, Stevie felt comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And it just turned into a thing where when he goes, fuck WCW. I think that was one of the funniest moments in an interview ever for me. You know?
It was so great. I popped. I was driving. I think I was actually driving to Booker's gym, Booker's school, and I was listening to it, and then I just popped when he said that, man. It was so funny.
Yeah, I still have actually not met Stevie in person, and, you know, like again, I had to call him the other day because, you know, we were getting some, you know, interviews set up for Reality of Wrestling to promote Summer of Champions.
And July 26th at the Humble Civic Center, July 27th on pay-per-view at realitywrestling.com. Only $4.99. Great value. Continue, Chuck.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Brad, that a dollar of that for each purchase is going to Booker T. Fights for Kids Foundation.
That is correct. That is correct, Chuck. That's why you're here.
I do what I can for you, man.
You know.
I had to call him again, and I was still so nervous because I don't know him, you know? And he was just talking to me, like, how you been, man? What's going on? You know, just shooting the shit with me for a little bit, you know? Like, and that was cool to me. And that's kind of one of the other things, you know, like, don't get me wrong. I've worked around wrestling a long time, And I have a lot of friends in the industry and people that I've worked with that are really cool. But there's still always going to be that little kid in you. It's like, man, I watched you as a kid. You were important, you know, to my childhood.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely.
And so when you get to do an interview like Tyler, like with, you know, like Hulk Hogan, I'm just like yesterday, man, like being in there with Iron Sheik, you know, it's just like, I always have to take a step back and think about how humbling it is that these people are willing to give us their time, especially when there's thousands and thousands of people out there that would give up a left testicle to do some of this stuff or just have 5 minutes with these people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible experience to talk to some of those guys. Stevie Ray, though, I can't speak good enough about him, man. He one time, you know, I was doing the ring announcing at a reality wrestling show, and he came out with, I think, Samoan Beast or Ryan Davidson, and he walked up to me, and, you know, he was like, "You reintroduced me as the greatest wrestling consultant of all time," right? And, you know, I did it, and, you know, the crowd just boos, and he loves it. And, you know, we got to the back, and he was like, "That was awesome." I'm like, "Hell yeah, it was awesome. That was so cool." You know, I was like kind of the little kid inside me. I was like, "Man, that was awesome." You know, and so, yeah, shout out to Stevie Ray.
Brad, did you ever think when you were a little kid watching wrestling that one day you would be, like, announcing Stevie Ray to come to the ring?
No, man. And, you know, you have those moments, you know, and, you know, a couple of the names we've had, you know, like Scott Steiner, Kevin Nash, Rob Van Dam, who I know you're close to, and Booker and Charmel themselves, it's just, you know, from an announcer standpoint, you know, in the ring, it's just like, wow, I can't believe I'm announcing these guys. And, you know, now I'm working with on commentary. It's like, I can't believe I'm calling some of these guys matches. You know what I mean? It's just an awesome experience to work with the Row. Hey, Chuck, but before we wrap this interview up, because we're almost talking for an hour, if you can believe it. We've almost done an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, this definitely can't end our conversation. We'll talk again here in the future, maybe sometime after Summer of Champions, July 26th at the Umpel Civic Center, July 27th on iPay-Per-View, realitywrestling.com, $4.99. $1 of that goes to the Booker T Fights for Kids Foundation. But we will talk more about that show. We'll have you back on to talk more. But before we let you go, this Sunday is WWE Battleground on the WWE Network and at whatever pay-per-view providers carry the WWE shows. I wanted to run down the card with you, and I want you to give me your predictions, Chuck Rice's predictions. You know, you're one of the hosts of the Nerdist Wrestling Compadre Slamcast, so you have some merit. You have some merit to your name, Chuck. So let's run it down. I'm gonna start off with the pre-show. It's a singles match, Cameron versus Naomi. Who you picking, Chuck?
I'm picking that. I'm disappointed. I said this on. You heard me this week. I'm gonna say it again. Why isn't this match on the main card, WWE? So I have a bathroom break.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
seriously though, they're, you know, I think it could go either way. I think it's going to be Naomi.
Yeah.
And I think she's a hell of a talent. And, you know, jokes aside, like, I don't know how well Cameron can carry the match, but I think Naomi will do a really good job. And I look for her to win. And I hope that's the end of that feud.
I definitely completely 100% agree with you. Now let's go with the America versus Russia, Jack Swagger versus Rusev, with Lana in her corner, in his corner, and Zeb Coulter in Swagger's corner. You know, the American in me obviously wants to go for Swagger, but the way that Lana looks, I almost have to root for Rusev.
Well, you know what, Brad? Here's the thing about that match. I don't think enough people are giving this match the credit it is due. And I think that, you know, look, there's some other matches on this card that could really steal the show, but people often forget that Jack Swagger can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
You know? And that he is an NCAA champion. He is a big old strong boy. And I think he's going to match up pretty well with Rusev. I do not think we get I think Rusev, by some screwy finish, comes out of this one the winner, but I don't think it ends there because ultimately America has to win.
America's got to win. Okay, you know, let's move on.
My personal hope, Brad, is that I was leading to building Swagger up really big so we can get that Kurt Angle return and have the ankle lock versus the ankle lock for WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, the American, real American versus the real American almost. I would love to see that, by the way. But let's go Dean Ambrose versus Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins.
That is one of the toughest ones on the card to call, I think. And I want Dean Ambrose to win. Dean Ambrose is one of my favorite things about the WWE right now. However, I do not see that one finishing clean, and I see Seth Rollins walking out with the victory.
You know, I got to agree with you, authority on his side. And I think these two are going to have a long, long feud with one another, so I'm looking forward to it anyway. Them just wrestling is a great thing for us wrestling fans. Moving right along, the 2 out of 3 falls tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. We'll see the Usos, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso, versus the Wyatt family. That's Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Who you going with, Chuck?
It really sat like I'm a fan of both teams, Brad. I really am. And obviously I'm biased towards the Usos because, come on.
Yeah.
They came out of Reality of Wrestling.
Uso!
But, and here's the other thing. I think that if the Wyatts are going to win gold, it needs to be Bray first. Okay?
That's how I
think it should be. I think that the Wyatts are going to win. I want the Usos to win. Because I think the Usos need the belts more right now because I think they're just on the cusp of really finding themselves and becoming really big. And I think that you derail them if you take those belts away. However, I think that it will be the Wyatts that walk out, but I don't think that feud ends there. I do anticipate by SummerSlam that the Rhodes brothers or Stardust or whatever they're calling themselves these days will be inserted into the mix somehow.
Interesting, Mr. Rice. I wouldn't see the Goldie and Stardust entering the picture, but, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing it. Moving along, this is a singles match for the WWE Divas Championship. You have the newly crowned WWE Divas Champion, AJ Lee, the returning AJ Lee, versus the former champ, the 21-year-old Paige.
I think AJ Lee wins this one.
Yeah, that would make sense. They're not going to take the title off of that quick. It's a weird feud they have going, though, you know? Like, you know, Paige debuts, beats AJ. AJ, you know, returns, beats Paige. And then now they're best friends and they're chatting on the announcement.
They're frenemies,
table.
Bro. They're frenemies.
Frenemies. That's right. They're frenemies. So we'll see how that plays out. I agree with you. AJ Lee going to take that victory. Up next, we have a singles match. Bray Wyatt versus Y2J, Chris Jericho.
You know, I'm going to say that Bray wins,
mm-hmm.
but I also think that this one gets stretched out for a little bit. And, you know, realistically, I think we should get at least 2 or 3 matches out of this feud. And I think that Jericho needs to pick up the victory somewhere in one of them because every time he comes back, he hasn't won the big one in a while. And Jericho, like I was saying earlier, he was always one of my favorites when, you know, Attitude Era and as a kid and stuff. But wrestling is also always a business of what have you done for me lately.
Yeah.
And lately, Jericho, we know he's strong. You know, he listed off his accolades the other night.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of the kids in the seats right now don't remember that. They don't even know what that was. So, you know, like, I need to see him win a big match. And for it to really have some impact when someone like Bray does beat him, you know? I think it will for now. I think the effect will still be there, and I think Bray walks out the winner.
Yeah, I definitely think this feud will continue to SummerSlam, and we'll probably see something really great there at SummerSlam. Moving right along, we got 2 more matches on the card, but you talk about this is a hell of a card they've put together for Battleground. 20-man Battle Royal. 20-man Battleground Battle Royal for the vacant WWE Intercontinental Championship. Here we go, Chuck. I'm going to list off the names. We have Alberto Del Rio versus Big E versus Bo Dallas, Cesaro, Curtis Axel, Diego, Dolph Ziggler, Fandango, Heath Slater, Kofi Kingston, RVD, Rob Van Dam, R-Truth, Ryback, Sheamus, Sin Cara, The Great Khali, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, Xavier Woods, and Zack Ryder.
Okay, so this one is, like, there's so many things I want to say about this one match, and there's so many people that I would love to see win, you know, and I think that this could be, like, a catapult to someone that, they, you know, they have there that could be doing things. For instance, if a Zack Ryder were to win this match, it won't happen.
Yeah,
but if, like,
not,
a Zack Ryder or an Xavier Woods were to win a match like this, it would instantly give them credit, and as people that can actually wrestle, that would be cool. I think this really comes down to a handful of participants, which is Bo Dallas,
yeah,
The Miz, and Cesaro, and maybe even Dolph Ziggler in that mix. I think those are the four that ultimately have the best shot of winning. I think that it's going to ultimately be either The Miz or Cesaro, and if I had to choose one, I feel like Cesaro's been really stagnant lately, and his character just hasn't done much for me. So I personally like what's happening with The Miz, and even though I know he's going to be feuding with Sheamus for a while, I think it would really be cool for The Miz to win and have, you know, your United States champion versus Intercontinental champion and kind of do something there. So my guess is The Miz.
That's a pretty that's really more thought out than I did mine. I'm choosing Sheamus to win and unifying the Intercontinental and United States Championship. Getting rid of one of those mid-card titles, I don't think we need as many championships just for the sake of having titles. I would like to see Sheamus win.
That's why I'm going with The Miz, because I think that you could put them into a feud. I really do think we're going to get a long feud with The Miz and Sheamus, because I'm really enjoying, like, I've there's no secret, I'm not the biggest Sheamus fan.
Yeah.
And, you know, he impressed me the other night, and I think him and The Miz had a great match, and I'd like to see more of that. So I would love to see The Miz walk out with the title so that we can get, you know,
the unification down the road.
I want a unification down the road, but I keep pushing for this, and no one seems to agree with me. I want to see another best of seven series, dude. I want to see, like, something go on for a while that really makes us care about that mid-card.
Yeah, they definitely need it, you know, because, you know, and even make us care about the titles in the mid-card, because, you know, aside from the WWE Heavyweight Championship, you know, not many other titles really matter that much, especially the Intercontinental United States Championship. So, interesting to see how that turns out.
And yeah, they should.
They really should, especially that Intercontinental strap, just based off the people who've held that in the past. But here we are, the main event of the evening is a fatal four-way match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And before I list the participants, so is it official? Did John Cena retire the big gold belt on Monday to Ric Flair?
You know, that's... Well, let me bring a little dirt for you, Brad.
Uh-oh. It's a mound of dirt!
It's a mound of dirt! You know what? I think that there's a lot of speculation that was just, you know, like, that they're saying this is how they're getting rid of it. However, I feel like WWE would make a bigger deal out of it, you know? And I almost feel like as new as that one belt is, if they were going to unify them into one, like, one belt, I feel like they'd give us a brand new belt even, maybe. I could be completely wrong there, and maybe that's just also because I've never liked the new one since they brought it on.
Well, here's the thing. The new one, when I first saw it, when The Rock debuted it on Raw, I was like, man, I hate this belt. But then I was like, well, at least it's better than the spinner belt. And then the more I looked at the title, though, the more I actually really started liking it. I like the new WWE title. It finally grew on me. Now, my prediction is they are going to debut a new belt sometime after SummerSlam, because that's when they implement their new WWE logo. So, I would definitely think they'd have to change the belt because that's the old logo. So we'll see how that plays out.
I just want a belt that, you know, like to me, that looks like a belt, you know, that looks like a championship. To me, the old WCW one looks like that, you know? To me, the old Eagle Wingtipped WWE Heavyweight Championship looks like that, or WWF, you know?
Yeah.
Those look like belts that you know, like a champion. This new one to me just looks like an oversized ring.
It's definitely very blingy, and you know, I mean, I've said it a million times, my favorite title of all time is the big gold belt, the World Heavyweight title, the WCW title, whatever you want to call it. That is my favorite championship of all time. And I think it's one of the most recognizable ones. When you see that, you think professional wrestling.
I think that's 100% accurate. So, you know, we agree on that.
So moving on though to the main event, John Cena, who's the incumbent champion, versus Kane versus Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns.
Oh man, look, in a perfect world, I would like to see Orton walk out of there with that belt.
Really?
You know?
That's interesting.
I'm an Orton fan. I think that Orton never gets the credit he deserves. He does little things in the ring just so right, little nuances that people just, you know, they miss.
Don't get me wrong, Matt Topolsky and I talked last night, and you know, I was telling him how much I like Randy Orton as a wrestler, and I said the same thing. Like, man, the stuff he's able to pull off in the ring is just astounding. Even though his character sometimes lacks depth and it comes off a little boring at times.
You know what? And so does Cena to me, but people
True.
Seem to not care. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, like, I think, and here's the thing, and if you really want to talk about it, there was a really interesting article that actually appeared on Forbes a couple weeks ago. I know, right? A wrestling article on Forbes. Go think about that for a minute.
Yeah, really.
But they were comparing, like, you know, how the new slogan of Triple H is best for business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were comparing, you know, John Cena's last four, not the, like, little transitional one that he had most recently, but his four most recent major title runs where he held the belt for a long chunk of time. And it was comparing that those were the times when WWE's numbers were the lowest.
Wow.
And it was talking about how actually when Randy Orton had the belt, that was some of the highest, you know, numbers and monetary income for the WWE. But interestingly enough, and so it makes it kind of hard to make an argument either way, except that during the year long when CM Punk had the belt, it was numbers up and down all over the place. So it's really just kind of hard to say. But if you really want to just break it down and be, you know, kind of jerky about it, it was like, well, Randy Orton is better for business than John Cena.
Well, hey, that's why Triple H is backing him. You know, he's part of the authority. Triple H sees that. Chuck, he sees it. So you're betting on Randy Orton to win.
I'm not betting on Randy Orton to win, unfortunately. I want him to, but I still think, you know, the savior of the children, John Cena, will win the title only to set up something with Brock.
Yeah, Brock Cena at SummerSlam. I saw apparently Amazon.com leaked the trailer for SummerSlam coming up last night. But I think we all know, you know, it's going to be John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. And you know, if that is the SummerSlam main event, I would not be surprised at all if Brock Lesnar is your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Well, I think it's leading to Brock versus Reigns at WrestleMania 31.
And I would love to see that match.
Listen, man. Before we wrap this up, though, Brad, I just have to say one thing.
What's that, Chuck?
I want to give a shout out to, you know, every single person, all my friends, and all y'all at Reality of Wrestling, you know, that I've known over the years. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of new faces that I've gotten to work with and do some stuff with over the past couple months working with y'all. But I'm very excited to come down for this show, man. I know we didn't get to touch on it too much, but Summer of Champions is going to be amazing. And I could not be more thrilled to go to a wrestling show. You know, I've been to a lot of big ones. Was at WrestleMania this year, going to be at SummerSlam, you know, been to Raws, been to TNA pay-per-views. I cannot remember the last time I was this excited for a wrestling show.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the card that Booker has put together is phenomenal. And you know what? There's actually one match on that card that I'm most particularly looking forward to. And I'm looking at you, Pride, and Ryan Davidson. I expect that match to steal the show.
That match is going to be awesome. No disqualification, Ruthless Ryan Davidson versus the Pride. So many stars going to be in the building. Diamond Dallas Page, Devon Dudley, Theodore Long, Raj Singh, NXT's own Rich Brennan makes his return to the row to commentate for one night only. Such an awesome, awesome show. Summer of Champions goes down July 26th at the Humble Civic Center. If you're in Houston, Texas, go to realitywrestling.com while tickets are still available. And if you're outside of the Houston area, July 27th, you can watch it on iPay-per-view on realityofwrestling.com for $4.99, $1, which going to the Booker T Fights for Kids Foundation. Chuck, I appreciate you making the time for me to talk to you about a little bit about Chuck Rice and about professional wrestling. You're going to have to come back on the show periodically. We're going to have to check in every now and then, and maybe we'll talk more about the SummerSlam card as it comes about.
I would be honored and loved to, man. And honestly, I'm so humbled and so honored that you wanted to have me on today. You know, I'm used to being the one doing the question asking and being in that seat right now. So it's new. It's interesting. It's exciting to be the one that's on the hot seat, man.
Hey, man. Yeah. I appreciate you taking the time out, man. You can follow Chuck on Twitter at CRice17. You're on Instagram as well.
Chuck Rice.
So make sure you go follow him.
And make sure you guys, you know, check out, you know, Wrestling Compadres on the Nerdist Network. New episodes every Wednesday. You know, thank you guys for the support. I mean, it's been amazing, and I hope to continue to entertain all of you each week.
Definitely, Chuck. I'm looking forward to the next edition of the Wrestling Compadres Slamcast. As always, every week, I'll see you, man. I'll see you when you get to Houston. We're going to have to kick it.
Hey, man. We're going to have to kick it, have a beer, and, you know, maybe catch those lovable last-place Astros. Oh, well, they're not last place anymore, so, you know.
They're not. They are not, Chuck. But it'll be iced tea for me. You can have the beer. But appreciate you coming on, man. Can't wait to see you, bud.
All right, my man. Talk to you all soon.
All right, man. Take care. Chuck Rice on Tat Talk. The announce table presents Tat Talk here on the Brad Gilmore Show Network. Big shout out to Chuck Rice. Go check him out. And that's all for this week. Y'all stay tuned in for next time. I'm Brad Gilmore. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @Brad Gilmore. Peace.